Well, what a week we had together. I've run out of words of how to commend and compliment the Southside people for your support of the lectures each year. And this year in particular, I'm so impressed with how morning and evening each day you came ready to hear the preaching of the Word. How you received our visitors and how you treated all of the preachers. It was not only a wonderful week, it was a foretaste of what heaven will be like. And so I thank you once again for your support of the lectures. I don't know what was more disturbing to me during the course of the week, the fact that my kids filled out an all-time fantasy lecture lineup, or that I wasn't on it. But I'm glad to be a part of this church and all that you do in the kingdom and all that you mean to me and my house. And so I thank you. Among our visitors today are David and Delphine Waltrip. They flew in from Boston on Friday, and David's sister passed away Friday night. They're here. They're staying with the Hammocks. They're new to all of us. We received a call from mutual friends to receive them. And so I hope you'll meet them this morning and comfort them and surround them during this difficult time as David will bury his sister later this week. But we're thankful to be family in Christ with them and that we can be of help to them during this time. We welcome them. I'm going to be reading from Luke, the 8th chapter, and I want to ask you to open your Bible and read with me an event that happened to Jesus and his apostles, starting at verse 22. We'll read through verse 25. Luke chapter 8. Start reading with me at verse 22. Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Wouldn't it be interesting sometime to just study the questions that Jesus asked that are recorded in the Gospels, most often to his apostles, but questions that he asked, not because he was searching for information that he didn't know, but to see how the people would answer them. Questions like, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Questions like, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Questions like, you do not want to go away too, do you? This time, the question Jesus asked his apostles, where is your faith? According to Luke's gospel, these 12 had already seen Jesus do wonderful things. They had seen him in verse 18 of Luke 6 cure disease and those who were troubled with unclean spirits. In chapter 7 and verse 1, they had witnessed Jesus heal the centurion's servant by just saying the word. Chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus had gone up to the funeral procession of the son of the widow of Nain and stopped it right in the tracks. They were on the way to bury the body. And he said to that boy, get up. And he arose and got up. They'd seen that. And so his question to them is, in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the boat, where is your faith? And I think that's a legitimate question to ask this morning. Where is yours? According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so that tells us that it's essential. And then the question comes, well, how do you get faith? Where does it come from? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now remember, we have just come through 4 very intense days of preaching the Word. The Word of God has been preached. And so my question to you is, where is your faith? Is it any different than it was at this time last week? The Bible really reveals 3 kinds of faith for the disciple. They are no faith, little faith, and great faith. Where is your faith? Now, I must say to you before we explore these 3 areas that this is a sermon idea that I got from one of my campers at Dry Creek 2 weeks ago. One of the senior boys in my cabin, Kason Jenkins. And I share that with you, obviously, to give credit where credit is due. But secondly, that means I can write off Dry Creek from my income taxes. Let's explore those 3 kinds of faith. Where is yours? Number 1, do you have no faith? That's the way Jesus asked the question in Mark's account of this very same event in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Where after Jesus calmed the storm, he said, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? Now we need to understand that by saying no faith, he's not accusing them of being atheists, of disbelieving in God. Remember, they woke Jesus up in the storm. They referred to him as master or teacher. Jesus certainly encountered those who didn't believe in him, but that would not have been the 12. How is it that you have no faith? That question is best understood when you look at the one before it. Why are you so timid? Why are you afraid, fearful, cowardly? How is it that you have no faith? Their fear had become greater than their faith. I've been told by those who have been there, and also by reading about this region, that the Sea of Galilee is almost like a bowl surrounded by mountains, and it would have been very easy for a storm to come on suddenly. And you think about how many times in the Gospels we read about Jesus and the disciples in a boat, in the sea, in a storm. This time, these experienced fishermen were afraid that they were going to perish. The storm was so great against them, the boat was filling with water. And while they're trying to save everything, they look over, and Jesus is asleep. You know, the Bible tells another story about a man who slept in a boat in the middle of a great storm. But how vastly different are the circumstances. Jonah, that was his escape. He was running from his responsibility. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Jesus was asleep because his trust was in the hands of his Father. The ESV has the question this way: have you still no faith? As disciples of the Lord, we have experienced His power. We prayed for things that with men it's impossible, knowing with God it's possible. And He's answered our prayers. How is it that we still have no faith? How is it that we allow our fear to overcome our faith? We sang this morning, the winds and waves still know the voice of Him who ruled them while He dwelt below. Do you believe this morning? Do you have the faith this morning that Jesus could stand in the middle of whatever storm is assailing your life right now and with His mighty voice say, "Peace, be still"? And it would. If not, I must ask you, how is it that you still have no faith? Where is your faith this morning? Why are you so timid? To Jairus, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." Why are you so fearful? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, not only does the last book of the Bible describe who will be in heaven and what God has prepared for the faithful, those who overcome, it also describes the second death, the lake of fire and brimstone. And we read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, "But for the cowardly." Now we understand the rest who are on the list, the unbelieving, immoral, idolaters, all liars, their part will be in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But the first one is the cowardly, those whose fear overcome their faith, who instead of trusting in the power of God, have no faith. Where is your faith this morning? Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is with the disciples in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night. And we read in Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" No faith, little faith. Now, I want you to appreciate the progress that Peter had made since Mark, the fourth chapter. Remember, there they were rebuked for being fearful. This time, Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I." And what does Peter request of his teacher? You know, the goal of every disciple was to do exactly what his master did. They wanted to follow them in everything. And so when Peter saw his master walking on the water, he said, "I want to do that too." And here was his request: "Command me to come to you on the water." Peter's made progress in his faith. That took great courage. That would not have been the request that I would have made of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Come," and he did. Peter walked on the water just like his teacher. But notice what question Jesus asked when he had to rescue Peter for being distracted by the wind. "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" The word doubt means to waver. It means to be divided. Peter was being pulled in two directions. And what he ultimately gave into was not his faith, but his doubt. But seeing the wind. In James, the first chapter, James also puts these two things together. When he said in James 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We see this same principle stated by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot serve two masters. You can't be divided in two. You can't be pulled in two directions. You're going to have to choose one or the other. Question: where is your faith? Is it just a little faith? A faith that is smaller because your doubt is so big? Do you have a mind that's divided? You can't give your soul focus and concentration and faith to what God has said because you're too busy looking around at what's happening? You're too busy worrying? Where is your faith? Would Jesus have to say to you, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain. Make thou my pathway plain. Teach me thy way. How does God make the path plain for us? Through the Word. How do we have faith without doubting? Through the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Where is your faith this morning? Is it too little? Because your doubts are so big? Where is your faith? In Matthew chapter 8, we are privileged to a conversation that Jesus had with a Gentile ruler, a centurion. Beginning at verse 5, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." No faith, little faith, great faith. Think about all of those whom Jesus encountered who did not believe in him. Starting with his own family, his brothers. They thought he was out of his mind. They on one occasion tried to come rescue him from embarrassment, Somebody said while he was teaching, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to speak to you. And Jesus said to the crowd, these are my mother and my brothers. These are the ones who are hearing the word of God. His own hometown. When Jesus went back to Nazareth, they didn't raise the banners and say, Jesus has come home. Said he couldn't even do miracles there because they didn't believe. The religious leaders of the day, those who should have been experts in the law and recognized the fulfilled prophecies of the Messiah, they did not believe. But here is a Gentile ruler whose faith is so great that he doesn't ask Jesus to come to his house to heal his servant. He said, just say the word. All you have to do is speak it, and it will be done. To which Jesus said, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Have you ever been shamed by people in the world who seem to have more faith than you did? Whose first response to some tragedy was to pray, and you hadn't even thought about that yet? Where is your faith? No faith, little faith, or great faith? Matthew chapter 15. Another conversation, starting at verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, send her away, for she is shouting out after us. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. This time when Jesus uses the word great, it's the Greek word megas, mega. You have a mega faith. Well, what was it that made the faith of this woman so great? What distinguished her from no faith and little faith? Her faith was persistent. She was not going to give up until she was able to make her request to Jesus. Other people tried to discourage her. They tried to keep her away. Her faith was persistent. Did you notice her humility? She bowed down before him. She knew that she didn't deserve what Jesus would give to her. She wasn't worthy to stand in his presence. But her great faith caused her to persist. And she had a faith that was patient. a patience that was rewarded with the words of Jesus, "Be it done for you as you wish." How big is your faith? Would Jesus say to you, "Great is your faith"? Or are we ones who try once and we give up? "Well, I guess I'll have to do this myself. I guess I'm the only one who cares." Or do we have a faith that's persistent? Where is your faith? No faith, little faith, or a faith so great in what God can do that it can move mountains? These things that were written about Jesus were written that you may believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, have life in His name. Where is your faith in Him this morning? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe you are to be under authority to Him? Submission through repentance of sin and confession of faith and baptism to have your sins washed away. Have you been overcome by the storms of your life that your fear and doubts are greater than your faith? Would you lay that before Him this morning? Have great faith in God right now while we stand and sing.